Today on Real Radio.
What about those who are sitting at home and the Holy Spirit is saying to them, you ever heard this? Holy Spirit saying, why don't you get up and go to church? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, you know what, I want you to do this thing, or I want you to do that thing, or whatever it might be? He's talking to you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues through the Old Testament book of Ruth. We're in chapter 1, where we find a valuable lesson in returning to our primary calling, if we have strayed away. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his presentation called, Going Back to Where You Belong.
God was at work in Naomi's life, and he's calling her back home. And the rumor comes that there's food back up in Bethlehem again. Therefore, verse 7, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on, two of them, to return to the land of, what does it say? The land of Judah. If you're a Jew in here, or your name's Judy or Jude, or if you're, you know, Jewish, Those words all mean praise, one who praises or a praiser, one who worships God. That's what Jew means. Paul says in Romans, I think, it's Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, that he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart, but he is a Jew who is one who is inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh, whose praise is of God and not of man. To be a Jew is to be a praiser. Theologically, we are sons of Abraham, who was the first, who? Jew. But he was a Gentile before he became a Jew. Did you know that? Israel's first leader was a Gentile. Now don't tell them that. It doesn't go over that well. But Father Abraham was Jewish, called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was a pagan worshiper. And God laid his hands on him, and God brought him out, and God made him the first Jew. And what qualified Abraham as a Jew was that he was a praiser of God. Well, then I'm a Jew, you see. My circumcision is not of the flesh, it is of the heart. And if you worship God, and if God is a wonderful living passion of your soul, then you are Jewish in your worship. Now, I've had some people, including myself, wonder, why is it when we give our hearts to Christ, we just kind of all of a sudden start to love Jewish things? Have you noticed that? If you look at my computer in that office over here behind that wall, I got a big prayer shawl over my computer because I like to look at that thing. I got an Air LL jet on my credenza because it's something that's got the Hebrew David sticker on there. You know, I just like it. You just like it. You step foot in Israel and you just go, I like it. Not to mention, it looks just like Southern California there anyhow. I mean, it's exactly the same. She's going home. She's going back to where she belongs. What about you and what about me? Kind of living the Christian thing, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. I told a group of German singles this week, I said, the Bible says you can't sleep together. Bible says you can't have sex unless you get married. You should have seen these. They thought I was nuts. It's time to come back home. It's time to go back where you belong. Put your shorts on and get out of there. God loves you. He cares about you. There's no reason to live in Moab anymore. It's time to come back. Time to come home. I'm talking to the Christian this morning. You non-Christians, you can sit back and say, "Preach it, man. Eat him up." You know. You see, the Lord loves you so much. He's chastening. He's chastening the land of Judah. He gave them a famine. Now they repented. Boaz, by the way, is living in the land. We'll get to him pretty soon. And he had a contemporary. The guy, you know his name. Gideon was his name. God was starting to work again. And God was starting to flex his muscle. You ever seen God flex his muscle? When he does, mountains move. So she's heading back home. It's been 10 long, lonely years without a synagogue and without a worship place. She's a beautiful example of repentance, and repentance is the answer to Naomi's problems, and repentance is the answer to our problems. If you want to live godly, if you want to have God bless your life, you walk after Him, and whatever is artificial and propping you up and trying to inflate your life to make it have meaning, get rid of it. And depend upon God, not the martini at the end of the day. Depend upon God, not the strokes of that secretary down the hallway at the office or that boss who comes by. Depend upon God. And He'll bless you, and He'll lead you back into the land, and He'll take care of you. See, the thing is, will we follow Him? The word return in verse 6, by the way, we'll look back just for a moment at this word return. It means to return back from where you've come from, to go back to the starting place. Jesus put it to us this way in Revelation 2:5. He says, repent and go back and do your first works. Do you know what those were? Remember when we were Christians for the first time? We wouldn't shut up about Jesus. He was everything. Remember that? Your parents thought you're nuts. I remember my brother, thank God, he gave his heart to the Lord since, but I remember Thanksgiving Day talking about Jesus. My first Thanksgiving, hot dog, I'm going to pray. Here we go. He almost slammed that turkey down my throat. God changes hearts. God changes things. Return back to the starting point. You wouldn't shy away from anything. Are we in love with Him? Naomi had to be getting excited, I'm sure. The situation was so tough that it brought her to the point of decision to go back home. But listen, carefully and quickly. You might say, well, that's not much of a decision. She heard that there was a blessing in Bethlehem, so she's just going to head up to Bethlehem. Whoop-de-doo. Hey, listen. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Did you know that? Don't raise your hand, because we all might ask you for a loan in a moment. But how many of you are doing okay? The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Did you have a good year, did you? God blessed you. I don't believe in God. Well, first of all, you will. And second of all, isn't it amazing? He blesses you even though you don't even care for Him whatsoever. He takes care of you. He's not some kind of a reprobate parent. Neglects His children if they believe in Him or not. Love Him or not. He takes care of them. Somebody asked the question. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. You get the same questions. You know that? It's amazing. Share with people on the street. Excuse me, if you had to ask God a question, what would it be? This and that. You know what the big deal is? If God is real and He loves, why is there so much evil in the world? Answer, man. That's the answer. Well, then why did God create us if He knew everything was going to go cockeyed? Answer, because He loves you. What kind of a stupid thing is that? That God would create a system that would go wrong from the beginning? Yeah, that's right. Because of choice. Well, I'm going to choose not to believe in this. Then don't ever complain about how sick the world is. Because if you want to change the world, you don't create the Soviet Union or China or Cuba or communism to try to control the people. You want to control the people, you let them loose and you give them the gospel, and God will come in and change hearts. And a nation, happy is a nation whose God is the Lord, says the Bible. You ex God out of a nation and you're ripening for judgment. And don't think for a moment that America will not be judged. Our day is coming. I believe it has begun. It is coming. God always goes after the gods that the nations worship. And who's our God? Our God is green, and it's about 7 inches long and about 3.5 inches tall and paper thin. And it says, "In God we trust." It should actually say, "In this buck we trust." Because when that dollar goes down, you know what's going to happen? If your bank account goes zero, and isn't it amazing how these last couple of years, there's been, in a matter of seconds, billionaires losing $1 billion. Well, they're a billionaire. They can lose a billion. What about the guy who's got $2,000 in his bank and he loses $2,000? These are warning signs, people. You know what happens? It's historically accurate. You will disagree with me. It's a historical fact. People spin the chamber and they put the bullet, the gun in their head. That's your God. When your God dies, you die. See, the good thing about our God is that he'll never die. And Naomi's going home. And it's a story of repentance. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible says, Jesus says, "Therefore there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In that verse alone, poor Jesus, he didn't have the barnacle. He mentioned sinners and repent, and then that would have been a loser message right there. "Excuse me, Jesus, but you're actually practicing negative church growth techniques. You've just mentioned sinner and repentance in the same verse." Jesus' angels party in heaven when one sinner comes home. He says, in fact, there's a certain man who had two sons. And the younger of the sons said to the father, "Father, give me my inheritance up front, please." So he divided them their inheritance. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had together and he took a journey into a faraway country. Maybe it was called Moab. And there he wasted his possessions on prodigal living. It's probably called Las Vegas, maybe, after all. But when he had spent all, there arose in that land a great famine. And he began to be wanton. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that faraway country. And he sent him into his fields to feed his pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants eat bread enough and have spare? I perish of hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to my father, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant like these that you have.' And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said to him, 'Son,'" listen, "or the son said to the father, 'I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servant," watch this, "number one, 'Bring out the best robe I have and put it on my boy. Number two, bring out my ring and put it on him. Three, put my sandals on his feet. And four, get the biggest, fattest cow we got in the farm and kill that thing and barbecue that thing. Because my son who was dead is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. It's time to be merry.'" Isn't that funny? His son wasn't dead, but he was as good as dead. And it was time for him to come back home. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for crusades, and we support crusades in this region. But you know what? What about a crusade? What about an outreach to those who don't go to church anymore? What about those who have 100,000 billion reasons why they can't go to church anymore? What about those who are sitting at home and the Holy Spirit is saying to them, you ever heard this? Holy Spirit saying, why don't you get up and go to church? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, you know what, I want you to do this thing, or I want you to do that thing, or whatever it might be? He's talking to you. The prodigal son came back home because his heart was repenting. It was broken already. And repentance isn't even in the story, really. The action is. Same with Naomi. Her heart is repentful. She's heading back home. She even says it up there in verse 13. She says, it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Listen, and we'll be done, maybe. We'll hurry. Some people, some of you, you have a child. I'm not talking a baby. I'm not talking about a baby in size. I'm talking about a child that's larger. Could still be a baby. And you say, you know, my son won't listen to a word we say. Doesn't obey a word I say. Comes in wee hours of the night. Doesn't have any regard for the home. He's influencing his younger brothers and sisters. I don't know what to do about it. Won't pay his car payment. Eats all the food in the house. What do we do? What do we do? Well, you know what? This is, you see this? You say, Junior, you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, or you don't eat here. You listen to your mom, and you listen to your dad, or there's not going to be a roof over your head. Excuse me, but when was the last time you made the house payment? I have another younger brother, or son and daughter, and they're watching you, and they're watching how I deal with you. And if I'm going to lose you, I'll see to it that you're the only one I lose. But I won't let you take this family down. I love you so much, I'm putting my foot right in the seat of knowledge. And the moment you cross out that door, I love you so much, until you repent, I'm changing the locks on this house. You're not going to eat here anymore. You're not going to live in your riotous way. You're not going to go out there and you're not going to bring in some disease into this house, because I love you and I love this home and I will not stand for this. You walk out, you know this, that door is always open if you come back with a heart of repentance. But if you want to come back here and turn this house upside down and be in control of this home and bring in your heresy or your horrible living, it will not happen while I live. And you know what? That son will go out, and it's happened in this church with some of your kids. They'll call you on it, and they'll pack their bags and they'll head out. Sometimes it takes 3 hours, sometimes it takes 3 months, but they come back different. And if you think that's mean, you know what? To give them money, to do their drugs, to play their game, you are only contributing to their demise, and you think it's love. And God would have said, Naomi, just stay down there, it's okay. Bunch of pagan worship, all kinds of horrible things. You'll never have any direction in your life. You'll never have any hope. You just stay down there. People don't want to hear this. Well, listen. Finally, this. Verses 7 to 15. Therefore she went out from that place where she was, her and her daughters-in-law, and they went to the way of Judah, the place of praise and worship, and they were on their way, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to your mother's house. You've dealt kindly with the dead and you've dealt kindly with me, so that's great. Thank you very much. Love you, girls, but stay among your people. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that you find rest each in the house of her husband. In other words, you girls are young enough to go get some more husbands. Find rest. Then they kissed them, and she kissed them, that is. Kiss of farewell, by the way. They lifted up their voices and wept. You ever seen three women weep? And they said to her, surely, listen, verse 10, surely they said, we will return to your people. They both said it, didn't they? Orpah and Ruth said it to Naomi, we're going back with you. I'm sure they meant well. A lot of tears. You ever seen that? Call me. I'll call you. I promise. Okay. Wait, did you get your sweater? I got my sweater. You got it. Okay. Right. Wait, did you get the address? You got it? Okay. Email. You got my email address? It takes forever. Long, drawn-out thing. They love one another. They've gone through a lot of grief together. In verse 11, Naomi says, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb? No. Just turn back. Verse 12, she says, my daughters, go your way. I'm too old. Verse 13, would you wait even if I had sons in my belly? If I gave birth to them today, would you wait? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and that is the kiss of farewell. She turned and went away, but Ruth clung to her. And the word clung, to cling, the word in Hebrew can be used as an appendage. Another appendage was added to Naomi's life. You have 10, normally, you have 10 appendages on your hands, 5 each. The word here means that Ruth became another finger to Naomi. In other words, to get Ruth off of Naomi, you would have had to separate them by surgical means. Their hearts had been melted together, inseparable. And look at, I love Naomi's heart. I so relate to this. And she said, Naomi said, Orpah, your sister-in-law, has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Naomi is saying, listen, sweetheart, there goes your sister-in-law. You better get moving. Shoo, go. She's testing her heart. Go on. You're young enough, you go home. Go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from part of Ruth chapter 1, it's a study called Going Back to Where You Belong. This is a new series we've begun recently here on Real Radio, and tomorrow we'll continue with more. If you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio, let us know. Drop us a quick letter or just go online. Go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can click the tab that reads Reaction and see what others have written. Our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.